Sometimes Christians lose sight of what's most important, and we get distracted by the things of the world. Hi, I'm Stephen Street, Executive Pastor at Fraser Church, and welcome to Fraser 365. It's our hope for you that in this devotional series, you'll be brought back to the one true center of our faith, just Jesus. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 26 of Just Jesus, the Promised Messiah. John Stott once wrote, "The essential background to the cross is a balanced understanding of the gravity of sin and the majesty of God. If we diminish either, we thereby diminish the cross." Our text for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Charles Swindoll beautifully sets the context of Paul's words to the church at Corinth. "God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." That's chapter 1, verse 9. After these inspiring words from Paul's greeting to the church in Corinth, the letter could have taken any number of turns. The apostle could have penned a magnificent treatise on the gospel of grace, as he did in the letter to the Romans. Or he could have defended the true grace of God against the works-mongering Judaizers, as in the brief but powerful letter to the Galatians. His words could have touched on practical living in light of the coming of Christ, as they did in the first letter to the church in Thessalonica. With the glowing praise we see in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, the original readers might have expected a positive, encouraging, even inspiring epistle from the hand of their founding father. This letter, however, was not addressed to the church in Rome, Galatia, or Thessalonica, but to the church in Corinth, which was in deep trouble. So Paul's positive appraisal in his introductory greeting suddenly gives way to a strong rebuke against divisions. Like the breakup of a marriage, so a congregational divorce is painful and tragic, especially for babes in the Lord who look to their spiritual family for security and stability. I'm convinced that nothing breaks the heart of God like the splintering of a church. Nothing cuts to the quick more than disharmony, unrest, and division among God's people. You and I can count over the past 10 years literally dozens of once thriving churches that are now split, divided, filled with dissension. Hate has replaced love. Chaos has driven out peace. In Paul's day, the church at Corinth teetered on the brink of congregational divorce. From a distance, Paul discerned those cracks of conflict that ultimately could lead to a collapse. He felt so vexed by the news of the church's distressed condition that he couldn't keep silent. The result? A passionate plea for the Corinthians to reconcile, to leave their selfish desires and renew their vows of commitment by cleaving to each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul makes his appeal for unity by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in verse 10. The church was arguing over personalities and messengers rather than focusing on the essentials of principles and the message. The Apostle Paul asked a series of great questions to awaken people to the error of their ways in verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? The obvious answer is no. There is no division in Christ, so there should be no division among Christians. It doesn't matter what human baptized you if you are bringing dishonor to the name of the one that you were baptized to represent. Paul urges them not to lose their focus on trivial things and neglect what really matters. The word of the cross is the power of God. The church should be centered on the message of the cross. What Jesus did at Calvary brought every race, tribe, and tongue together. There are only two different groups of people: those who are perishing and those who are being saved. And because those who are being saved believe in the power of God displayed at the cross, they love those who are perishing enough to display the gospel message through the unity exhibited by Christ. Some questions to consider. In what ways are Christians today distracted from the message of the cross because of misplaced priorities on the personalities of the messengers? How is the message of the cross emptied of its power when communicators make it about themselves? And finally, how can you keep yourself riveted to the message of the cross so that unity prevails and God's power is always on display? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.